Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 10 through 16. And I have entitled this evening's message, Thank God Has Forgiven Us. Thank God Has Forgiven Us. Let's go here for a moment on the screen right here. And we're going to go right there. There you go. Thank God has forgiven us. Wow. So are we there? Matthew 18, 10 through 16. And here we go. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Matthew 18, 10 through 16, verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Verse 12. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep? And one of them goes astray. Does he leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over the sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of the Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And verse 15 and 16. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take one with you or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Praise God. Praise God. See, my friends, this whole entire expository teaching this evening is basically focusing on the heart of man. God always looks upon our hearts, and he allows certain situations of life to take place, and ultimately it's a test for you and I. Are we going to be angry? Are we going to be unforgiving? Are we going to slander? Are we going to get upset? Are we going to curse someone out when things go wrong? Well, I'm here to let you know that the heart of God is always to reconcile, to restore, to build up, to lift up. Many of us have been going through many serious trials and tribulations, especially when COVID hit. But I'm here to let us know, my friends, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. God is with us wherever we go. God is the lifter of our head. God is our shield and buckler. God will always watch over those that are his. But there is something that God is looking for, my friends. He is looking for us to have his heart. And one of the things that is part of his character about God is that he's a forgiving God. That's right. He doesn't hold us, hallelujah, hostage to our bondages anymore. In other words, he forgets all of our sins at the cross, because when he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when he was crucified, and he took on our punishment, every iniquity, every sin, everything that was a transgression of humanity was nailed on the cross, and he died for you and he died for me. Saints of God, you need to understand that God, in his everlasting love and his foreknowledge, saw you and I 2,000 years later after the cross, that he would save you and I from a life of debauchery. Many of us have these testimonies of unruly things that we used to do, things where he found us, things that we would be ashamed just to even share those things in public. But yet, God in his grace and his mercy, what did he do? He saved a wretch like you and I. Aren't you so blessed? So this is why this topic, the name of this message is Thank God Has Forgiven Us. How many are so blessed at home to know that God has forgiven you? Oh yes, indeed. You need to know that God has forgiven every transgression, past, present, and future, to the account of the cross. But the enemy, old Slewfoot, he'll come remind you of your past. But here, I'm here to let you know that when he comes to remind you of your past, you need to remind old Slewfoot, you need to remind Satan of his future. And he's about ready to be cast into the lake of fire with the false prophet found in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 10. Can I get an amen in the house? So, my friends, I'm excited about this evening's teaching. And I know God is going to do the miraculous in our heart. So let's go back to the Word of God and let's break it down. Let's look at verse 10 and 11. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? God came to save us who were lost. And the Bible says, hinder not the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. So just how little children are so naive and they don't have the wisdom and knowledge and they don't have true understanding, but they will walk in faith. You tell a child about Jesus and they will follow Jesus without questioning you. Why? Because they're so innocent. They're innocent and they're tender. Well, God is saying, come to him no differently. Come like a child and God will raise us up. God will nurture us. God will sanctify us. God will begin to do a mighty work in our life. Can I get an amen? But God came ultimately to save us that was lost. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints of God? Aren't you so blessed to know that he came to save you and I? My goodness. I'm thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that he saved a wretch like me. Praise God. So saints, these little ones can also refer to both children and disciples. And the words don't despise pointed directly at the pious religious leaders who showed nothing but contempt for those below them on the spiritual ladder. That's right. You see, in the book of Luke, we see a perfect example. A perfect example. Let's go there right now to the book of Luke. Let's go there right now. Let's go there. Let's look at this for a moment. In Luke 18, 9 through 14, it says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves and that were righteous and despised others. These are the self-righteous folks that Jesus had a problem with. Look at this in verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, oh God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Did you catch this, saints? Look at this. Look what this guy is saying here. Oh my gosh. In verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Verse 13, of the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as even raise his eyes to heaven, but he would beat his breast saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house and I justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be what? Exalted. Wow. Wow, my friends. Isn't that something? Praise God. Praise God. You see, humility is the key. Humility is the key, my friends. Saints, the reason little ones should not be despised is because in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of their heavenly Father. And some have seen in these verses the concept of guardian angels. These words neither prove nor condemn the concept. Being in God's presence means having access to God. So these angels are ministering angels. Can I get an amen? We need to understand that when we are down and out, that when we need to be lifted up, God will send, hallelujah, His angels, just like He did when Jesus was down and out. This is why humility is very important. You just read right now, the tax collector was self-righteous, and there are self-righteous people that do not walk in humility. They are covetous, they are greedy, they want... It's all about me, myself, and I. But they don't even care to pray for others. They don't even care to witness. They don't even care to raise up. They don't even care to make a call. Praise God. But let me just say this, that God is going to separate at the very end of the age. The angels will come and separate the sheep from the goat. Oh yeah, there's a lot of people in church that are wannabe Christians. They're name tag only, but they have no humility. They have no regard for their brother and sisters. It's all about what can I get out of this. There's some people that won't even come in when it's worship. They'll come in just to hear a word and leave. My friends, I'm here to let you know that God looks at the heart. Can I get an amen? He looks at the heart and He sees all. Let's look what it says right here in the book of Hebrews right here. In Hebrews 1:14. Are they all not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who inherit salvation? Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? Wow. Wow. You see, saints, the Old Testament speaks about angelic intercession and help as in many, many of the scriptures, especially in the book of Psalms. Let's go there for a moment. Look at this. In Psalms 91, 9 through 11. The word of God reads, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, no shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall what? Give His angels charge over you to keep you in what? All your ways. All your ways. Praise God. Praise God. Now, look what it also says in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel 10 through 14, look at this. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees in the palms of my hands. And He said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While He was speaking this word to me, I stood, what? Trembling. Look at this in verse 12. Then He said to me, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of what? Your words. Look at this. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand that what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers yet to come. Did you catch that, saints of God? Wow, wow. Man, I'm telling you, my friends, you see the meaning here? Is that God's people are constantly represented before the Father. Therefore, each one of us has special importance. I hope you know that. So, saints, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. It's not found in the earliest and best manuscripts. Therefore, it is not included in most of the modern versions. But I'm here to let you know that He came to save you and I. And so God, hallelujah, has His best interest in us, His children. Why? Because we are the mouthpiece. We are the people of God that will represent the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. This is why we just read that, take heed, let no one despise these little ones. Well, we're included as those little ones, not just children, because we need to humble ourselves and be like a child. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 12 in book of Matthew 18. And the word of God reads, what do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray? Does not he leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is strayed? Did you catch that? Now Jesus kind of switches gears here. And He's talking about those who go astray. My goodness, my goodness. You see, saints of God, Jesus was addressing his disciples, reminding them that God's care extends to each of his little ones here, portrayed as sheep. If a sheep should go astray from the flock, God, like a protective shepherd, will go into the hills to search for that lost one. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? We just read that for the Son of Man has come to save which was lost. And many of us, hallelujah, when we come into this world, we're already lost without a cause. That's right. Many of us, he found us from the gutter. And he allowed us, hallelujah, to come into this great and mighty salvation by faith. You see, saints, God is concerned about every single believer and will actively go in search of those who have gone astray, meaning that they have gotten out of a right relationship with him and are headed toward false teaching, are headed down a dangerous path in life, or even falling into sin. But I'm here to let you know, saints of God, have you ever came to a place where you felt you ventured far from God and that he's so distant or he's just far from you? Or maybe you felt that your transgression was so abhorrent towards him and you feel as though he has abandoned you. Many of us have been there before, saints of God. That's right. Well, let me just say this. The next time that ever happens to you, cry out to God like the psalmist did. King David was one that would cry out. He would know exactly how to touch the heart of God. Look at this for a moment right here. In the book of Psalms 119, 169 through 176. Listen to this and apply it every now and then when you feel like you're distanced from God. Look at what it says. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me to your word, O God. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Did you catch that, saints of God? Look at this. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. For I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. Verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. You know, I've always heard this from backsliders that have come back to the Lord. I remember this one gentleman was telling me that he was in a bar and he was just drinking it up. He was far from God. He hasn't been around believers for months, maybe years. But he would remember the scriptures and he would be stewing in his drunkenness, and God would still be speaking and talking to him, even in the midst of his sin. This is what I love about God. What I love about God, that he will continually pursue us until our last breath. I'm here to let you know, saints of God, there's nothing that you could ever do that would allow God's grace not to pursue you. God will pursue you until your last breath. I'm here to let you know that God is a loving God. He's a graceful God, but he's also a God of judgment. And when that person takes his last breath, and if that person remains in their iniquity, remains in their sin, the grace is now over. And the Bible says it is appointed once to die, then the judgment. Then God, because he's just, because he's righteous, he has to judge according to his word that's already written. Praise God, praise God. So, my friends, let's go back now to the word of God. Let's go back here to Matthew chapter 18, and let's look at verses 13 and 14. And it says, and if you should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Look at verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should what? Perish. There it is right there. That none should perish. My goodness, my goodness. This is the love of God in his mind. He doesn't want no one to perish, saints of God. We all think that God's up there with a bat waiting to beat us on the head. No, he's long-suffering. God is patient. But ultimately, the decision is left to us. And if we remain to close our ears and our eyes and continue to walk in our waywardness, God will have no other choice but to judge us through his word, what's already forever settled in heaven. And so, saints of God, the Father doesn't want any of his flock to wander away. God so loves each of his followers that they should go astray. He actively seeks and rejoices when they return to him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he does. Look at it. I'm going to show you something right here for a moment. Let's look at this. In Webster's Dictionary, let's look at the definition of prodigal. You all heard about the prodigal son, right? Okay, number one. One of the definitions means wastefully or recklessly extravagant, prodigal expenditure. You catch that, saints of God? Let's look at number two. Giving or yielding profusely, lavish, usually followed by, of, or with. Prodigal of smiles and prodigal with money. Let's look at number three. Number three says, lavishly what? Abundant. Are you catching that for a moment, saints of God? Lavishly abundant. Profuse natures, prodigal resources. And number four, a person who spends or has spent his or her money or substance with wasteful extravagance and their spendthrift. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? And so the story in the Bible, a unique one, God spells it out. He spells it out and he makes it clear that he is for us, not against us. How many believe that God is for you? You have to believe that. He's there to do everything he can to keep us, you and I, on the straight and narrow. Why? Because he wants to bless us. When we truly walk in a life of obedience, this is where he can truly bless us. And he can pour out his grace and his mercy, and we will walk in abundance. I want to walk in abundance. I want every aspect of my life to be blessed. I want my marriage to be blessed. I want my business to be blessed. I want the church that God has allowed me to pastor to be blessed. But if I'm living in a wayward way, God will not bless it. God would have already destroyed it. He would already had tore it down. But because if you have a made-up mind to serve the King, if you have a heart that constantly is reminded to be in a heart of repentance and to walk in his ways and to serve the King, the Bible says he will honor you and he will bless you. Oh, that's right. I need us to look at this story right here. Let's go to this right here. In Luke 15, 11 through 32, look at this. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them in his livelihood. Look at this. And verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there what? Wasted his possessions in prodigal living. Wow, wow. So look at this. Now, verse 14, but when he has spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. So he blew it all, saints of God. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Wow, he had it made at a father's house, and now he's feeding swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Wow, look at this, verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And look at this. And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Look at this in verse 19. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Verse 20. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck. Let me pause there right now. It doesn't say that when he saw his son, that he said, hey, close the blinds, muzzle the dog. I don't want him to know we're home. No, his father didn't do that. Let's continue with this story. Praise God. Look at this, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had, there's the key, had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and what? Kissed him. Praise God. Verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Look at this in verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son, I want you to catch this now. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Look at this. So he called one of the servants and asked, what are all these things meant? And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry. Now, oh my gosh. Listen, I want you to catch this. Because there's some folks in the church, when they see a backslider come back in, some will act like the older brother. Look at this. Let's go back here. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Look at this. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a goat that I might be merry with my friends. Verse 30, but as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Verse 31, and he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. That is the heart of God, my friends. The heart of God is to rejoice when sinners repent. This is why the Bible says that when one sinner repents, the heavens rejoice and the name is shouted throughout heaven. My friends, there's nothing greater than a soul being saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, washed in the blood, and forever sealed until the day of redemption. I'm here to let you know that God has a special place for you. You may be listening for the very first time and you've never given your heart to God. Maybe you've been thinking that you've done so much atrocious things that God could never forgive you. I'm here to let you know that God loves you, that God died for you, that God is the lifter of your head, that God will sanctify you, that all you have to do is come to Him with a mind to be saved, a heart of repentance and surrender. Make that choice to serve the King. Make that choice to say, I don't want to live like I used to live. I want to live like the Bible says, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is walk by faith and not by sight. Who cares what your friends and family may think? I'm here to let you know that when I got saved, I was ridiculed, I was mocked, I was laughed upon. But 32 years later, I'm here preaching the gospel to you. Can I get an amen? I would have never thought that God will allow me to be a pastor of a church, but I'm here to let you know that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And many of you who were out there lost without a cause, you were toe up from the flow up. I'm here to let you know that God has had grace and mercy upon your life, and God is not done with you. God wants to use you. God says, just yield your life to me, and I will be the lifter of your head. God wants to sanctify you. God wants to show you a great and mightier way. God will, He will change your plans that you thought your plans of life would work for you. And God will open up new doors that no man can shut. For me, when I got saved 31 years ago, I thought I was going to have to continue to do hard labor at a lumber yard. But God gave me my mind back to study His Word, to study books, and I became a realtor. Hallelujah. And I never had to go back to that hard life of labor. Why? Because God had a better plan for me. God has a better plan for you. So I'm here to let you know that God, all great and mighty God, hallelujah, has forgiven many of us, hallelujah, and we have a heart of gratitude now. Our hearts should say yes and amen, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, O God, for teaching us. Thank you, O God, for giving us another chance. Thank you, O God, that we didn't perish in our sins. Thank you, God, that we have now a heaven to gain and a hell to bound. Hallelujah. Somebody got to give God praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So, my friends, a sheep that is not found, that is one that willingly refuses faith, will face a consequence, and that sheep will perish. But God does not want that to happen. Can I get amen? He will rejoice over a lost person who is found. Praise God. Praise God. Look what the Word of God says right here in 2 Peter. Look at this. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should what? Perish, that we should all come what? To repentance." Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, God wants, He wants faithful believers to be part of the rescue team. Our follow-through care of you Christians, our small group ministry, our individual contact with fellow believers should demonstrate the great shepherd's care for His children. Can I get an amen? That's right. Look what it says here in this word right here in Matthew 22. It says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Look at this. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Verse 39, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now catch verse 40. This is the key, saints of God. This is the key. "On these two commandments hang all the law in the prophets." I want you to get a hold of that. Listen, it's not about keeping every law. There's too many of them, 614, I believe. And the Bible says if you break one, you've broken them all. But here's what God is looking for. He's looking for a love relationship with Him. See, because here's the thing. If you fall madly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm madly in love with Him for 32 years, I have a love with Him that I cannot explain other than I am so grateful and thankful that He saved me. But I'm here to let you know that He's looking for a love relationship. You see, when you love someone and when you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, the last thing you want to do is break His heart. Can I get amen? And so this is why we strive for perfection. We'll never be perfected here on this earth, but we strive. In other words, He sees our heart. He sees that we do want to love Him, that we do want to please Him, that we do want to be obedient to Him. And so on the other side to that, He pours out His blessings upon that life. Why? Because He reads the heart. He knows the things. Praise God. Now, let's go back to God's Word. And look at this in Galatians. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken by a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness." Can I get an amen on that, saints of God? That's the key. That's the key to do that, is to restore him. Restore someone. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will be given what? Rejoicing in himself and not in another. Praise God. That's the key, my friends. That is such the key. Is when someone gives their heart to God, rejoice with them. We can't judge them where they came from and what they did. Some of us have hideous testimonies. Oh, that's right. But God is good. God is love. Can I get amen? God is love. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? And so, saints, these are Jesus' guidelines for dealing with those who sin against us. These guidelines were meant for Christians and for discipline and conflict and resolution in the context of the church. These steps are designed to reconcile church members who disgrace so that the body of Christ can live in harmony. Jesus explained that the person who has been offended must first go in privately and point out the fault. A personal confrontation carried out in love will allow the sinning member the opportunity to correct himself. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that God makes ways? God knows how to fix us. God knows how to do all these things that we just mentioned, my friends. My goodness. So saints, many misunderstandings and hurt feelings can be solved at this stage. But this is not a license for a frontal attack on any person who hurts or slights us. Personal action saves church leaders from getting involved in everyone's personal concerns. Can I get an amen in the house? That's right. That's right. Personal confrontation also keeps believers from gossiping with one another. Instead, believers are to be mature enough to go directly to the source and deal with the problem at that level. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Listen, we don't have time. We don't have time to do what other churches may be doing. I don't know. Where they're disgruntled and there's heartache and there's disarray, there's dissension, there's slander. No, we don't have time for that. Why? Because you see right there, my friends, you see these clouds that are right behind me? Jesus is about ready to come. We don't have time to be playing around. God is saying, it is time now to be the church. Can I get an amen? Let's not play church, but be the church. And Jesus is about to return. That's right. And my friends, I'm here to let you know that you may be logged in for the first time. And I'm here to let you know, number one, God wants to forgive you. God wants to cleanse you. God wants to wash you in His blood. God wants to fill you with His Spirit. God wants to empower you. God wants to use you in these last days. But the key in allowing God to do those mighty things is the heart needs to repent. In other words, you need to turn from wicked ways and turn to a holy God, saying, God, I'm tired of this life that I'm living. I'm tired of whatever it may be. It could be alcohol. It could be physical abuse. It could be homosexuality. It could be transgenderism. It could be lying and stealing. It could be slander. It could be all these things that we sometimes get caught up in. And God is saying, if you're tired of that life, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and in burden, and I will give you rest for your souls. God is saying, turn, turn, just like the prodigal son. He went out and he wasted all of his living, and he came back and God restored him. God's arms and hands are wide open right now. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Because God wants to do a miraculous thing. God wants to save you. And listen, once He saves us, and many of us are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are heaven bound and a hell to shun, and we're waiting, just like you see the background, for Jesus to come in the clouds. Why? Why is He coming in the clouds? Because He's going to remove His church out of the way. And once He removes His church out of the way, then He has to be the judge and the King of all kings. And He has to judge this world of their sin and their rebellion and their rejection of Him. Jesus went to pay a price that no one, not even Bill Gates, can purchase. It was salvation that was through His blood on a hideous cross to die for your sins and mine. And He's coming again. He's coming again. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, and look what he says right here in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore, frighten one another. No, comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God is going to make a way of escape for all of His children that are born again? God's going to remove us before the judgment comes. And I truly believe, according to the signs that are taking place, Jesus said you will know the times and the seasons right before He returns. And we're seeing it now. Israel's back into a nation in 1948. Jews from around the world are pouring into Israel. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing famines and pestilence. We're coming out of a major pestilence that has killed millions around the world. Come on, wake up, my friends. Wake up. Smell the coffee. It's right there before us. Jesus is about to return. But before we can be translated and go up into the clouds, He has to change our physical body. And look what God wrote here. And 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit what? The kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all what? Sleep. We shall all be what? Changed. Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait when God makes that change. Why? Because it'll be over now. The suffering on this earth. Oh yes, the trials, the tribulations. God said He's going to wipe away every tear. God is going to wipe away all the sorrows and all the heartaches and all the sufferings that you and I have gone through in this life. And we're going to have brand new bodies and we will be like Him and we will live with Him forevermore. But the question is, my friends, are you ready? Are you ready to receive God's grace? Are you ready to receive His mercy? Because if you continue to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let this happen to you. Please.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow, my friends. You know, some of you may be saying this. Pastor Fee, why do you always show this video at the end of your teachings? My friends, we don't have that much time left. And Jesus is coming soon. And this is a constant reminder that He's coming for those who are looking for His return. And so our eyes need to be looking from above, that Jesus is coming for His church. That's right. There's nothing on this planet that we could take with us. And there's nothing that I want to take with me. I want that new body, and I want to see Jesus face to face, and I want to live in heaven, and I want to live in paradise, because I know that what He has prepared for you and I, it's going to be mind-blowing. It's going to, anything here, anything the best the world can offer will pale in comparison to what God has prepared for those who love Him. And so, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm praying that you will. Look at this scripture right here, and then we're going to close. Luke wrote in the book of Acts, he recorded Peter the apostle, who ran from Jesus three times, now on the day of Pentecost, is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he came down and he preached to many, thousands of them down below from the upper room, and said, then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Wow. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Huh? Aren't you so blessed to know that God has given mankind a way is to turn from their wicked ways, turn from this life, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you would pray with me right now. The church family that's watching on YouTube and Facebook, every one of them will pray. If they're still on this live stream, we're all going to pray for you that maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. So bow your heart and your head and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Somebody just gave their heart to Jesus. And we pray that if that is you, down below, you'll see our website. Reach out to us. Call us. Our phone number is there on our website. Our email is there. Reach out to us. You know what we love to do is give you a Bible and to point you to a good church that'll teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And so if you're living local, we'd love to invite you out to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. We're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And so, my friends, I am so blessed. I feel God's presence. I believe God has blessed you tonight with His Word. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we're going to say goodbye right now. But don't forget, this Sunday morning, 10:30, our live in-person service. Our worship team is going to be there. We're going to worship the King, and then God will prepare a word for each and every one of us. And so let me pray my benediction, and we can be dismissed this evening. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. We love you guys. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.